Welcome back to Sit Still, Look Opinionated, a comedy and political satire podcast. I'm your host, Claire Malky. That one AirPod that doesn't fit quite right? Difficult. Before we get started, a big thanks to our opinionated friends over on Patreon. Those of you who are in the know about Patreon know that every week we drop an exclusive update about what projects we're working on for the podcast. And for just $3 a month, that's less than one Starbucks peppermint mocha, I might add, you can be a part of the opinionated community. Visit us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast for more details. If you hate Starbucks or are on a low budget because you had to buy everyone Christmas gifts, consider signing up for the opinionated newsletter. This bundle of comedy drops in your email inbox every Wednesday. In the newsletter, we give a sneak peek about the interview guest, a bit about how we write jokes, and some fun spotlights about what our staff is working on outside the podcast. If you want to sign up for that, you can check it out at www.sitstillpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, by the way. It's really fun to connect with all of you. But enough of that chit-chat. This is the time of year when I really reflect on my life over the last 12 months. I look at my habits and I decide which ones can go, like drinking 6 cups of coffee before eating anything, or waiting too long to do the dishes, or getting emotionally attached to my Animal Crossing island. But there are some habits that are good too, you know, like going on walks, drinking water, and taking a break from Animal Crossing. One of my routines that I've stuck so strongly to over these last months is listening to the news first thing in the morning. Some people might think it's a little strange, but I like to hear the state of this dumpster fire planet promptly at 7:15 a.m. For some reason, it keeps me connected to the bigger picture. I don't have any roommates, so listening to shows like the New York Times Daily or NPR's Up First or WBEZ's Reset remind me that there's always something bigger happening outside my apartment. Sure, my bathtub faucet is making sounds like it's literally going to explode, but what about the latest with Russia and Ukraine, or with abortion rights, or gun control? Tapping into these national news sources reminds me that the world is so big and I don't just live on my Animal Crossing island. Now, you might think these big national stories make me feel overwhelmed or lost, and you're right, sometimes they do, but they also help me realize what I want to help with in my local community. And as we stress so much on this show, the best way to make an impact is to start local. You never know what you might end up accomplishing. We have got an awesome show for you all today. For our interview, we have the 40th Ward Democratic Committeewoman, Maggie O'Keefe. This interview was so good, and I was so excited about it, and it's really fun, and Maggie is so smart. You should definitely stick around and listen to it. Today, I am drinking a sparkling water homemade from my soda stream. Mmm, fizzy. Grab your drink, and let's get started. Up next, this week's headlines. The Kremlin believes Russia has a right to the Ukraine because they are culturally linked. Ukraine disagrees and has hired Taylor Swift to explain why they are never, ever, 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 ever getting back together. Former Senate leader and presidential candidate Bob Dole has died this week. He was the last surviving witness at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Syria is now a multi-billion dollar player in illegal amphetamine production. It's really given their economy a jolt of energy. NASA announced a new class of astronauts that includes pilots, doctors, and a cyclist. They will be called the Space Village People. Astronauts on the International Space Station performed a spacewalk to repair a broken antenna. They can now stream the finale of the Great British Baking Show. So wholesome. Last year, there was a rise in Americans' blood pressure. Doctors have ordered Americans to avoid grapefruit, roller coasters, and global pandemics. To protest abuse in Xinjiang, Biden administration officials will not attend the Beijing Winter Olympics. Staffers will still judge the ice dancing live stream as if they were Michelle Kwan. experts are saying that the new Omicron variant might not be as severe as previously thought, making it the Disney G of coronaviruses. That one is for all two of our hardcore Disney theme park listeners we have. Nerds. Eighty years after Pearl Harbor, the U.S. military has identified the remains of over 355 crew members from the USS Oklahoma. Pearl Harbor reports hauntings are down 25%. An Amazon server outage caused problems for Alexa, Disney Plus, and other servers. To avoid bad publicity, they'll be changing their name to Skynet. In November, the U.S. added far fewer jobs than they expected. It's called November for a reason. Canada is developing a plant-based vaccine for those who want to cut 75% of COVID from their diet. The new Omicron variant is said to be less dangerous, but more contagious. Kind of like 90s fashion. In Spain, 68 doctors contracted COVID from attending a Christmas party, and 30 of them caught herpes from the orgy afterwards. A major study concluded that the world's wealthiest people got richer over the past year of COVID. It's true. Billionaires started COVID. In a major upset, Giuseppe is the first ever Italian to win the Great British Bake Off. He plans to now run for governor of New York. And that was this week's headlines.
You are now tuning in to Tucker Carlson Tonight.
COVID, masks, vaccines, Ross, Rachel. Can we joke about these things yet? Some already have, like my first guest, Claire Malky. Claire, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Tucker. I lost a bet.
Claire, let me just ask you something. If I even think about joking about this COVID stuff, will I be canceled?
Tucker, you've been canceled since 2004. Thank you, Jon Stewart.
What?
What?
Claire, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this. If we get canceled just for laughing, are we allowed to show other emotions like fear or hunger?
Hunger is not an emotion.
And if other emotions are banned, which ones will you people in the liberal media still allow us to have? Like, where will it end, Claire? You're the comedy expert. Tell me, where does it end?
It can end right now. God, I am already regretting this so freaking much.
Claire, before you dive in, let me ask you something.
Okay.
With the leftist media's obvious stance on science and masks, do you think America should get involved in Afghanistan?
What? What are you even... We just ended a 20-year war with Afghanistan.
Oh, come on, Claire. I'm giving you the chance to come clean.
Come clean about what?
Okay, since you're avoiding the question, let me ask you this. Let me just ask you this before me and my bow tie interrupt you again. Since you're such a fan of ending wars, do you think America should pull out of the war with PC culture? Yes. Or no?
PC culture isn't a physical place, you know that, right?
It's a simple question, Claire. You're saying it's okay for America to break its promise of free speech for those of us who have everything yet nothing to say. What's next? Are pinky swears out of the question now? What about swearing on the Bible? Should we just do away with the witness stand in courts of law? Why do you hate the federal court so much and therefore America, Claire?
Dude, I write satire. Instead of making yourself a victim, why don't you interview an actual expert?
Well, that's all the time we have today. Join us next week when I'll have Marjorie Taylor Greene on to talk about global cooling.
God, I need a drink. This year is the 150th anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. If you've ever taken an architecture boat tour, then you'll know that the city burned to a crisp over the course of 3 days, or the same amount of time it takes me to put my laundry away. No one knows for sure how the fire started, but it's rumored Mrs. O'Leary's cow set the city ablaze. Here to comment, Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Well, hello, Claire. All I have to say is, she had it coming.
Oh, so we're jumping right in. Okay. Who had it coming?
She only had herself to blame.
Isn't that a bit of victim shaming there?
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it, I bet you would have done the same.
I'm not sure if I would have set an entire city on fire, but I'd love to hear your side of the story.
Well, it started on a dark and stormy night. All the farm animals were sounding off their various noises. You know, the ones you learn in preschool.
Oh yeah, like baa for a sheep, or like neigh for a horse, or like moo for a cow.
We're all aware of the sound a cow makes. Anyway, the lady of the farm, Mrs. O'Leary, the scoundrel, came into the barn to milk me. See, we had an agreement. She gave me food and shelter, and in exchange, she could have my milk to feed her and her family. But one day, I discovered she was two-timing me. She was using my milk to make contraband butter and was selling it on the black market. That wasn't our deal. She couldn't milk me for all I'm worth and then not pay me my cut. So when she wasn't looking, I kicked over her lantern. In fact, I kicked over her lantern 10 times.
Oh. Oh my God. Oh, wow. So do you feel like you got your payback for the milk?
A lady never kisses and tells. I will say, though, I'm now immortalized in history and I've never felt better.
I'm on that grass diet. Oh, cool. Like all those grass-fed proteins? Like, I think I saw something about that on Instagram.
No, Claire, literal grass. I'm a fucking cow.
Right, right. So, do you think there will be any more Great Chicago Fires, or was that sort of like a one-time thing?
Oh, Claire, those fires have already started. Global warming and climate change just about have us all fucked. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if another fire started right about now.
Oh, okay. Is it getting a little hot in here? Mike, we have a fire extinguisher, right?
Great news, everyone. We have new staff writers this season. We were able to hire such amazing team members thanks to our patrons on Patreon. Thank you so much to Jamie, Ashlyn, Christina, Anthony, Laura, Andy, Anna, and Samantha. For more information, visit us at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. Hope to add your name next week.
Up next, my interview with Maggie O'Keefe. For today's interview, we have Maggie O'Keefe. She is the 40th Ward Democratic Committee Woman. Maggie, thank you so much for being on Sit Still Look Opinionated.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am very excited to chat with you and hear about all of your work. So for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, could you give us a little bit about your background and who you are?
Sure. So I serve as a Democratic committee person. I'm one of 80 in the Cook County Democratic Party. It's broken up into 80 Democrats, 80 Republicans across the county. And so I serve as basically our election coordinator for Democrats for the 40th Ward, which is on the north northwest side of Chicago. You think like Lincoln Square, West Andersonville, West Edgewater, Bowmanville, Peterson Woods, Rose Hill Cemetery, lots of voters there, and everything around over in on that northwest side. So everything from making sure that we have enough election judges, Democratic election judges for Election Day, getting volunteers up and out on our get out the vote strategies, endorsing candidates for the upcoming election, which we just completed last week for our organization, and also appointing vacated positions, which is something I was able to exercise earlier this year for the first time, and more than likely not many more times after that one, but still was able to do the appointment process, which was really interesting to be able to do.
Yeah, that sounds super cool. And all of that work you're doing is very, you know, important for local politics and local government. How did you get involved with Chicago, working in this capacity?
Great question. I feel like everyone's path to politics, especially in Chicago, is unique to them. I got involved after the 2016 election. I was kind of a slacktivist. I made phone calls very little for Bernie back in the 2016 primary, and then didn't really do much after that other than vote in both the primary and the general election in 2016. And just like everyone else, I stayed up way too late watching these election results not going our way, and woke up and I said, I have to do something about this. I can't believe I allowed this to happen. And got really involved in voter registration. I saw the steep decline from the 2008 general election of Barack Obama and how high our voter turnout was, particularly in marginalized communities here across Chicago. As we know, Chicago is a very segregated city. Mm-hmm. So when we saw a lot of folks, particularly Black voters coming out to vote in that 2008 election, and then we saw a very steep decline going into even to the 2012 re-election of President Obama to the 2016 election. And I thought, okay, this is somewhere that I can have an impact. This is something that I want to explore further. And that's what I did. I took a deep dive into voter registration. And what I found was that not only do politicians and elected officials don't necessarily talk to people that in our age group, but they're not actually going into deeply rooted communities and talking about the issues that impact them and why voting is important. So I did my best efforts and ended up helping over 500 people become deputy voter registrars across Cook County. And then we registered thousands of people to vote ahead of the 2018 primary election, which is a midterm election. So 4 years ago from today, which is crazy.
Wow.
At the same time, I was also getting involved in actual races. So the first race I ever got involved with was Amaya Pawar for governor here of Illinois back in 2017. He was the most progressive, the one that was talking about legalizing marijuana in the state of Illinois at the time. No one was touching that topic. And
wow,
right there on the forefront. So I was like, okay, I think I got my candidate. And then I was getting picked up along the way with my marketing background. So I worked for Fritz Kagi for Cook County Assessor back when he beat Joe Berrios, the longtime incumbent that was our tax assessor for a long time, and for other judicial candidates. And that's when I ended up throwing my hat in the ring to run for office all the way to the 40th Ward.
Mm-hmm. How was running for a position different than sort of you working to support a campaign?
I feel like you have to get that experience working on a race because you'll never truly understand the value of being told no over and over and over again, right? So when I was collecting signatures in Springfield for Amaya, for example, Springfield, while it may be blue in that little center where the Capitol is, all around it is red. And so, whether people can't not pronounce a name to not understand their, or just because you're a Democrat, you're being told no a lot. No, I don't support that person. No, I don't support you. No, I don't want to sign that. Mm-hmm. And so it gave me the confidence to run and understand that not everyone's going to be on the same playing field as you are, or they don't want to listen sometimes, and that's okay, because you just have to try again, and maybe that second or third time is the one to go. So, you know, transitioning from working for candidates to actually being a candidate is pretty seamless, as long as you get that experience yourself of working for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like truly, you know, being able to stump and talk to somebody at their door every day, and saying the same thing over and over and over again, and you're exhausted from hearing your own voice or talking about the same things, but it's brand new to that person. So like really keeping things fresh as much as possible.
Yeah.
Those are the things that you just learn as you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What were some of those tactics you used to stay fresh in your conversations?
Oh man. let's see. I mean, I came from an acting background, so mm-hmm. I grew up in theater. So performing the same monologues and scenes over and over again, and still keeping it fresh and not it being so repetitive or robotic, was something that is ingrained in me from my studying theater. Mm-hmm. But I would say that even just surprising your own self in your conversation and being as candid as possible. So you're not feeling like it's a script that you have to stick with.
Yeah.
You also have to read the body temperature read the body language, not the body temperature. we do that too much now in COVID. But the body language of a person, are they interested? Are they leaning in? Asking the person what they want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the job of running for office and even being a politician or an elected person is listening and saying the thing back that the person told you so that mm-hmm. they feel heard.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you keep it fresh, because you don't always have to talk about property taxes, mm-hmm. for example, mm-hmm. if that's not that person's jam. Sometimes people want to talk about crime. Some people want to talk about the environment. So just making sure that you have something to talk about in those moments.
Yeah. You had mentioned earlier a lot about voting and working as the Democratic committee woman. So obviously voting, I'm sure, is quite important to you. But what are some other issues that are really matter to you and keep you going?
Great question. You know, my day job is working for government. Mm-hmm. And so I work in a senator's office right now. And the calls that we're getting in the most is still about receiving unemployment and also rental assistance. People mm-hmm. are still hurting. Small businesses are still hurting a lot. So that's kind of what is still motivating me to get up every day and get people the relief that they need right now. Because we're kind of getting, you know, we're still very much in COVID-19, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like we're seeing, you know, you could now sit in a restaurant. You could still you can now be in groups of people as long as we're outside. You know, we're seeing children get vaccinated, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. But people are still suffering every day. And you can't just look at it as like, oh, look, these businesses are open now. They must be doing fine. No, they have backlogs of debt that they need to kind of clear. People who haven't been able to support their families still have to pay rent. And now people can be evicted now for not mm-hmm. having their rental assistance. So those are kind of the things that are currently motivating me to make sure that we have quality people in these offices that are staying true to their values.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have noticed in, you know, popular culture where it's like people think the pandemic is over, but it's quite not. I mean, how many of us are still working from home or still unemployed?
It's doing interviews on.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true. Yeah. When we initially began this podcast, we intended for all of our guests to be in person if they were local. And I haven't done an in-person interview since February of 2020. So yes, it is still going on. So in what you were speaking with, you know, businesses still hurting and us still feeling the effects, did the pandemic really affect your work ongoing as well?
Absolutely. So when I won my election in the primary of 2020. And then the next day, we were already in a state of emergency in that week leading up to the election. And we couldn't move the election based on state law. Like, there was just no way that we can move the election. And I know that that was probably a really hard decision for the governor to make.
Yeah.
You know that lives are potentially lost because of having an election. I mean, if you can remember back in March of 2020, we had no masks.
Mm-mm.
We were wearing gloves and we were like putting tape on the sides of this of the street to like try to do the social distance stuff. But we didn't have the tools and the knowledge and the understanding that we do today. So when I became the committee person, I won in March of 2020, and then I immediately had to build a ward organization right here on Zoom. Like we went into shutdown. And so that was really, really challenging to build something from the ground up that everyone was currently experiencing this like being stuck at home feeling.
Yeah.
But luckily, because of that, because all of us were unfortunately underemployed or, you know, furloughed or just stuck at home, we had a lot of time to organize and prepare. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we saw an over 4% increase in voter turnout in this last election, not just because Donald Trump, but because people were hearing from their neighbors about getting out and voting. And we had vote by mail so robust by that point, by the general election. And so we had to build all of that, and we had to do all of our meetings not in person. But it really benefited us because people really wanted something to do. So I was running around, you know, on my bicycle and dropping off hundreds of postcards to people, and they were able to do them, and they're like, give me more, you know?
Yeah.
We were able to make phone calls and send over 200,000 text messages throughout the course of March through November because people were available to do it. So now, as we're kind of in this hybrid model of in-person events, but small events, or, you know, doing them still outside as much as possible, we have this new toolkit that we have, this online opportunity for people to get involved that is brand new to organizing, kind of, you know? And so it's very helpful to get people involved from way different parts of not only my community, but like across the country, right?
Yeah.
We have the tools and opportunity to help people across the country now, not having to go door to door in Iowa or Ohio or something, but we can do it right here. And and with your friends as close as possible, you know, over Zoom or something like that. So the challenges, you can always look at a challenge, and I think you can always flip it into a positive.
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to do as much as I can when it comes to this type of work.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that people can, you know, do a lot of this work from their home if possible. Why is it important that people be involved in their communities and, you know, take action in times like this?
So something that I like to tell young people a lot that aren't able to vote, for example, that everything is political. Everything about your day is rooted in government, is rooted in decisions being made on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So oftentimes, I think we, as people, we forget that our voice and our values are able to be voted on. And that's why voting, I think, is ultimately the thing that's always attacked, because you know, luckily in Chicago we don't have it, but we still have issues of accessibility in terms of getting people out to vote. I mean, we have to remember the single parents who work three jobs and don't have that opportunity to go vote in person and don't know that vote by mail is possible, or for somebody who is out of prison. For years, it wasn't until we just passed recent legislation, thanks to Chicago Votes, this amazing not-for-profit, but once you leave a jail or a prison, you're now given information about how to re-register to vote. Over 90% of people in that were formerly incarcerated can re-register to vote the moment they step out of those four walls. Mm-hmm. But I still, to this day, when I meet somebody in my ward, they say, well, I'm a fellow convict. And I said, hey, that's okay. First of all, I don't need to know that, but you are more than likely able to register to vote. Mm-hmm. And so getting them through that process and giving them that back, that just giving them that opportunity from what they thought that they didn't have. So, mm-hmm. There's so much more work that can be done. We're seeing it across the country of our rights being taken away.
Yeah.
And here in Illinois, I mean, we're really, really lucky. We just passed the repeal of the parental notice of abortion for young people under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to start seeing people moving here because we actually have these we don't have as big of accessibility challenges. But we still have a lot more work to do and to go, mm-hmm. to make sure that we are accessible, voting in particular, for anybody that's differently abled or formerly incarcerated or young. So that way we can get as many voices in democracy, not fewer. By the way, I wrote this backwards.
I was wondering, I was like, you pointed out and I was like, oh, I can't read it, but.
It says more voices in democracy, not fewer.
More voices. I love it. It's like just barely out of my focus, but I'm sure it meant something lovely. Thank you for sharing that. So as we've been talking about, this is Chicago. Are you all having any events in the next couple of months? I mean, there is an election coming up next year in Illinois. Do you all have any events like that coming up that you'd want to share with our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to come to our upcoming, we have a holiday fundraiser. Our tickets are $40. If you can't swing it, I still want you there. So that's going to be on Monday, December 6th. Like I said, more voices in democracy, not fewer. Mm-hmm. So we are kind of focusing towards fundraising as we get into the latter half of Q4 or the last part of the year, mm-hmm. because directly out of the new year, we have to start collecting signatures on January 13th for our endorsed and slated candidates, or just mm-hmm. any candidates that are running for office. So the usually right now we would be, I'm like looking at the date. Yeah. Like we would be submitting signatures. We would be getting our candidates ready to submit all of their signatures. But because the election was pushed back to or forward to June 28th, 2022, so did signatures. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to collect signatures in the middle of a Chicago winter.
Oh man.
It sounds so heinous.
Yes.
And I know it. You know what I mean? Like I'm asking for so much from people, and I'm going to be out there collecting a lot of signatures. I'll be sure that the candidates come out and, support us, but it's going to be really tough. And if you've never collected a signature before, I highly recommend coming out, especially with me. I'm happy to knock with you, mm-hmm. and collect these signatures, because that's how we get the quality candidates that we need. Across our state, in our city, and in our own backyard, to get onto the ballot. You can't run for office if you're not on the ballot. So that's like our biggest thing. So between January and March, our biggest thing is going to be collecting signatures. And then from there, we'll do like a bunch of postcard writing opportunities and events. We'll start text banking and things like that. So mm-hmm. we're going to collect all of our nuts or all of our cash as much as we can right now, so that way we can be ready for this upcoming sprint into the upcoming elections.
Wow. Yes. Knocking doors in January to March in Chicago. That will be for the memory books right there.
It's, I've done it when I first ran for alderperson in mm-hmm. February. My first date that I started knocking doors was February 1st of 2018.
Amazing.
The election was February 26th, 2019. And when I went out, I originally had like a notepad or my I had like a notepad and I had a pen and my pen froze. So that was it, right? I couldn't collect email signatures. So what I ended up having to do was what I did this little trick where I had a little voice recorder. And you can't voice record anybody without letting them know. So what I did was I kept it in my pocket, just kept it there, wait until, and then I would talk to people and or not recording. And what I would do is say, hey, can I collect an email address from you? I would love to keep you updated on our campaign. And if you just tell it to me, I'll just memorize it. Right. Be like, you can't memorize my email. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to email you tonight. And so they would tell me their email. And then I would turn my recorder on as soon as they closed the door. And I'd be 5758 North, Clark. They have a dog named Pony and their email address is this. And it was a really great trick. So along the way, I've found that, these types of pens may not work, but gel pens don't get those work in frigid temperatures. So I'm probably going to be buying every single gel pen from Staples that is in black and blue. So we can collect signatures. all these little tips that you learn along the way when running for office.
Mm-hmm. What's another favorite anecdote or story in a similar vein to things like that you've had throughout your tenure? That is very on the spot.
It's all good. Here's one that I love. So from this last election, I will say that a lot of our volunteers in the 40th Ward Dems are first-time political volunteers. So it's a lot of education. It's a lot of hand-holding. It's a lot of, getting people excited about something that is so foreign to them. But one of my favorite anecdotes from this last election was we were sending postcards to seniors because we had this huge Get Out the Vote initiative to get vote by mail. So it was safe for our seniors. And so we wrote over over 6,000 postcards. And I had them put my phone number. So every day I would get a phone, at least once a day, I would get a phone call from a senior right before the upcoming November election. And a lot of the times it was just helping them get their vote by mail ballot. But this one woman called and she was from Jamaica, and she's a citizen here in America, and she never voted.
Wow!
And this was the first election. We got her to a polling place. I actually put her in touch with a volunteer who was willing and able to bring seniors and people that are immunocompromised to the polling place because they didn't want to do it by mail. And she actually voted for her first time. So, and that's with a brand new political volunteer. So it's just this whole thing where, it really kind of came together for everybody where it was oh, I get it. This is why we do it. It's not always the big picture stuff. It's that direct, that neighbor that just needs that handholding, that just needs that opportunity to give or give back, or receive, And so that is one of my favorite stories from, at least from this last election. Doors have been, I've witnessed a child using the toilet for the first time.
Amazing.
I know my former field director has seen multiple people naked. I've never been able to see anyone naked, but somehow they saw at least two. So, you never know what you get. You could really get some gems.
That seems like something out of a comedy show. It's every door, something different behind it.
Honestly, truly, if you're a comedian or you want to break into improvising, the best way to truly, to be able to meet brand new people and brand new characters is by going door to door, 100%.
That's a great little snippet of advice. We'll keep that for all you improvisers who I know are listening. Maggie, this has been a lovely time chatting with you. Thank you so much for being on Sit Still, Look Opinionated. We do have one signature question. We have been speaking some about opinions on the show already, but what is something you are opinionated about? And it can be about anything at all.
Okay. I would say never compromise your values or the person who you are or once were. I feel like, you know, when I first got into running for office or even getting involved, I was really worried and concerned about my theater background, that that was a negative, as if, you know, performing did not qualify me. And what I ended up finding out is it absolutely qualifies you because you're a normal person. And when I would meet other people that were former performers or, you know, current performers, we were able to have such a better connection because I wasn't shying away from what I know best, which is performing and being real and authentic. So, you know, never shy away from what makes you unapologetically you, because it's going to connect you to somebody or something that will ultimately, you know, get you where you want and need to go.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that's something that we strive for here on So It's Still Look Opinionated, is to show that true side.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much for chatting. And if our listeners wanted to follow you on social media or anything like that, where would you direct them?
Sure. So my website, you can write in there and get on my email list at maggieokeefe.com, OKEEFE.com. And on Facebook, I am Maggie O'Keefe. Our organization's page is called the 40th Ward Dems, D-E-M-S. I don't know if it really tickles your fancy. I am on Instagram at Yay Maggie O, as well as on TikTok. So you can watch me do anything from lay around with my cats to redoing furniture.
Yes.
And politics and everything in between. Being unapologetically me publicly. So.
I love it. Yeah, I do watch a lot of home improvement shows. I live in a rental, but one day I'll pick them out.
There is plenty of things you can do, you know, at your own home that costs very little. So it's definitely a passion of mine.
Well, lovely. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
And that's all for today's episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can email us at sitstilllookopinionated@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on social media at sitstillpodcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. This podcast was produced by Michael Dritto and me, Claire Malky. And written by me, Claire Malky. Michael Dritto, Fee Bosanyavich's, Gabriel Skavor, Molly Smith, and Charlie Bain. Theme music by Terrence Jackson. Transition music by Christina Walter, and royalty-free music from Epidemic Sound. Check out our referral link in the show notes. If you would like to support this podcast, please subscribe to our newsletter at www.sitstillpodcast.com and visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/sitstillpodcast. This podcast was recorded on the land of the Kickapoo, Peoria, and Potawatomi Nations. And of course, I'm your host, Claire Malky. Oh, and don't forget, stay opinionated. Bye.